Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. When the topic of pandemics arises, we medievalists tend to think immediately of the Black Death, which started in the 14th century and occasionally reoccurred, eventually killing an estimated 25 million people in Asia and Europe. We reflect on some of the poets and composers who lived through that horror and how it inspired their work. Boccaccio's masterpiece, Decameron, is a prime example, idealized fiction written to distract both its author and its readers from real life. So we thought, perfect, let's distract our listeners with beautiful music that sets poetry from the Decameron. The adventure began, but it didn't go where we thought it would. Join us!
Thank you.
John Toll Harpsichord played Luzzatko Luzzaschi's Toccata del Quarto Tono. Then Paula Chateauneuf performed Luzzaschi's Toccata No. 12 on the Chitarrone, both from the 1992 recording The Secret Music of Luzzatko Luzzaschi. For hundreds of years, we've been advised in times of trouble to try to keep our thoughts positive. With that in mind, this hour we're going to focus on an Italian poet who survived the Black Plague, the pandemic that hit Italy in 1347. That horrific catastrophe, which killed more than 40% of the population of Florence and its surrounding countryside, was the inspiration for Giovanni Boccaccio's masterpiece, The Decameron, a book that itself was read by people trying to escape the horrors of everyday life. The book tells of 10 noble young Florentines, 7 female and 3 male, who go off to the country to escape the plague. Not the real country where ants crawl up your leg and you get poison ivy, but the idealized country. For 10 of the 14 days they're away, they take turns telling 10 stories each day, from tragic to triumphant, from religious to X-rated. At the end of each day, they eat and drink a wonderful supper. Then, after dinner, they sing and dance together, ending each night with one person of the 10 singing a ballata, for which Boccaccio tells us the words, but alas, gives us no hint about the tunes. The ballata is an Italian poetic and musical form that involves verses separated by ripresas, kind of a chorus where others could chime in. These ballate have 3 to 6 verses separated, presumably, by the ripresas as a sort of all-together now. Perfect after-dinner entertainment. So, are there musical settings of Boccaccio's ballate elsewhere? Luckily for this program, the answer is yes. An interesting yes. In Boccaccio's own day, the composer Lorenzo da Firenze, Lawrence of Florence, set the text of his own ballata, Non so quale mi voglia, to a melody in 2 sections. The piece begins and ends with the same words and music, the ripresa. The words can be translated roughly as, I don't know which I want, whether to live or die. To suffer less, I would like to die, because life is awful, seeing myself left for another. But I don't want to die, because if I did, I would not see that beautiful, loving face. And so I weep with envy for him who made it his own and takes it from me. To suffer less, I would like to die, because life is awful. This is Esther Lemandier singing and playing the viol. Thank you. Esther Lemondier accompanied herself on the viol in a historically informed but very unusual performance of Lorenzo da Firenze's ballata Non so quali mi voglia, recorded in the 1980s. In the Decameron, the ballate were almost always sung solo. They're also very much longer than this ballata. Is this what they sounded like? Is it perhaps a bit idealistic to expect a young noblewoman to undertake this sort of vocal virtuosity, or was this kind of ornamentation part of an idiomatic vocal style at that time? Hard to say, but hey, there were no bugs at their picnics either. Boccaccio's ballate may have been read frequently over the centuries, but they don't seem to have been sung much between the end of the 14th century and the second quarter of the 16th century, when the ballata was suddenly reborn as a polyphonic madrigal. Here's an early example from Jacques Archedelt, a madrigal in four parts called Io non ardisco di levar più gli occhi. Listen for the return of the ripresa. Hey, no return of the ripresa! And four rather straightforward, singable vocal lines. What a completely different world this is musically from earlier ballate. That setting of Archedelt's Io non ardisco was from a recording of Archedelt's works by Capella Mediterranea, Douce Mémoire, and Cœur de Chambre du Namur. Searching through later repertoire for ballate from the Decameron yields some very interesting results. For example, there's an early setting of the first verse of the ballata for the fifth day by Francesco de Laiole. But then, around 1542, Domenico Ferrabosco leapt to the top of the Renaissance bestseller charts, and his most famous composition is the madrigal Io mi son giovinetta, the beginning of Neifile's ballata from the end of the ninth day. The madrigal went viral, an anachronistic but appropriate term considering our topic, appearing in dozens of prints between 1542 and 1654. Its ripresa can be translated as, I am a young girl, and I like to be merry and sing in the new season, thanks to love and sweet thoughts. Imagine a young lady walking happily through the meadow, seeing her beloved's face in all the flowers. The face of him who, loving me, will catch me and hold me forever.
Yeah.
There now, isn't that a lovely positive image? We heard the Gesualdo Consort Amsterdam, directed by Harry van der Kamp, singing Domenico Ferrabosco's greatest hit, Io mi son giovinetta, with lyrics by Boccaccio. None other than Giovanni Pierluigi da Palestrina, maybe having met Domenico in Rome, used this madrigal as the basis for a mass for four voices that he published in 1570. Vincenzo Galilei, father of the astronomer, entabulated Io mi son giovinetta for lute. Here's Andrea Damiani playing it on a 1999 Stradivarius recording entitled Fronimo. Andrea Damiani played Vincenzo Galilei's Io mi son giovinetta on the 1999 Stradivarius recording Fronimo. Now let's hear what Jan Peter John Schwelinck, up in the north, did with Ferrabosco's tune and Boccaccio's words in a setting published in 1612 for two voices. The piece is in there, you can tell, but it's simultaneously simplified by removing two parts and made much more challenging for the two singers remaining. Ferrabosco and Boccaccio's Io mi son giovinetta, arranged by Jan Peterjohn Schwelink, once again sung by members of the Gesualdo Consort Amsterdam, Harry Vanderkamp conductor, on their 2009 Glossa CD, The Secular Works of Schwelink. Now it gets even more interesting. Somewhere along the way, some clever person wrote a different poem, obviously very much influenced by Boccaccio. Its opening words, Io mi son giovinetta, are the same, so one has to tread very carefully when doing research. The new version stars a shepherdess and a shepherd. It begins, Io mi son giovinetta e rido e canto alla stagion novella. I am a young girl and I laugh and sing at the new season. It goes on, and the shepherd appears, to whom the girl says, Fly if you are wise. The passion in the beams of this spring will never be for you. None other than Claudio Monteverdi composed a madrigal setting of this new poem in his fourth book of madrigals from 1603. That was The Consort of Music, directed by Anthony Rulli in 2012 on a musical concepts recording entitled Madrigali Erotici e Spirituali. I guess that was one of the erotici. One can't help but notice that both Ferrabosco and Boccaccio have disappeared and the noble lady has become a shepherdess, but the joy of springtime remains. Early music can mean a lot of things. What does it mean to you? Let us know your thoughts and ideas. Contact us at harmoniaearlymusic.org, where you'll also find playlists and an archive of past shows. You're listening to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We started out looking for settings of Boccaccio's Ballate from the Decameron and found a whole trove of pieces stemming from his ballata Io mi son giovinetta. Now we've arrived in late 16th century Italy, and Boccaccio's ballata has turned first into a madrigal, then into someone else's poem, though it retains the same first line. Also, with the new poem came some very particular new repertory, because this is the era of the Concerto delle Dame, whose style of florid, highly ornamented singing brought great prestige to Ferrara and revolutionized the role of women in professional music. It was a time of great virtuosity, as you'll hear. This is music of Luzzasco Luzzaschi, a slightly older contemporary of Monteverdi. See what I mean about changing styles? We've come a long way from both Boccaccio and Ferrabosco, but we still remember and make lovely associations. We heard Luzzasco Luzzaschi's Io mi son giovinetta, sung by La Veneziana, Claudio Cavina, director, on their CD Concerto della Dame, released by Glossa in 2009. Here's another virtuoso setting of the new poem, this time by Sigismondo d'India. Its words are becoming a bit sketchier now, but it's likely that the poetry aficionados still knew the poem, and even the original Boccaccio ballata that inspired it, from reading or reciting, if not from musical settings. This setting was published in 1615, only 3 years after Schwelling, just to give a bit of perspective. Thank you. The inimitable Emma Kirkby and her colleagues from the Consort of Music played and sang Sigismondo D'India's setting of Io mi son giovinetta, no longer by Boccaccio, on the 1987 Harmonia Mundi release Il Terzo Libro di Madrigali, Sigismondo D'India. Diminutions or ornamentations on the madrigals and the virtuosity to play them were also the territory of 17th century jazzers like Giovanni Maria Trabacci. Luckily, some of their works got written down, so we can have some idea of what happened to well-known pieces in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. This is from Trabacci's Ricercate canzone francese, Capricci, Canti fermi, Gagliarde, Partiti diversi, Toccata, published in 1603, and still based on Farabasco's model.
Thank you.
Funky, yes? The pleasures of mean tone temperament. If you wondered whether someone forgot to tune the harpsichord or were finding yourself getting tense as you listened, that's what you were hearing in that Trabacci piece played by harpsichordist Silvia Rambaldi and countertenor Tadashi Miroku. Keyboards can't adjust pitches in mid-piece, so they sometimes end up making sounds that singers are rarely forced to make. And let's let that take us almost gracefully into our recording of the week. Jacques Arcadelt lived from 1507 to 1568 and was in the service of the Medici, the papacy, and the kings of France. He could hardly have had a more impressive career. And he's been unjustly neglected in recent memory. Capella Mediterranea, performing the madrigals, Douce Mémoire, the chanson, and Cœur de Chambre d'un Amour, the sacred music, have taken a large step toward remedying that with their 2018 issue of the 3-CD set Jacques Arcadelt, Madrigali, Chansons, Motetti. Though he was a singer who made it all the way to the Sistine Chapel Choir, it's as a madrigalist that Arcadelt is best known today. His first book of madrigals had a very long life in print, with some 58 editions appearing between around 1538 and 1654. No other madrigal volume by any composer compares. Here's a well-known Arcadelt madrigal, A Lover's Lament, O Felici Occhi Miei.
Ancora pure le vigne, 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 ancora pure le vigne.
music of Jacques Arcadel, performed by Capella Mediterranea and Ensemble Douce Mémoire. A significant amount of Arcadel's sacred music has rarely seen the light of day, though clearly at least some of it was sung at the Sistine Chapel. Listen to his version of the Lord's Prayer. It's gorgeous. Jacques Arcadel's setting of the Lord's Prayer, sung by the Chœur de Chambre du Namur. Let's end with Arcadel's greatest hit, his madrigal Il Bianco e Dolce Cigno, sung by Leonardo Garcia Alarcón with Capella Mediterranea. Its words are, "The gentle white swan, singing, dies, and I, weeping, approach the end of my life. The difference is strange. He dies disconsolate, and I die blessed. That death which is not to die, but to fill me with all joy and desire. If in dying thus I will not feel sorrow, I will be pleased to die 1,000 times each day. Cappella Mediterranea sang Arkadelt's famous Il Bianco e Dolce Cigno from a CD called Jacques Arkadelt, Madrigali, Chansons, Motetti. Harmonia is a production of WFIU. Support comes from Early Music America, which strengthens and celebrates early music by supporting the people and organizations that perform, study, and find joy in it. On the web at earlymusicamerica.org. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any part of this program or about early music in general. Contact us at harmoniaearlymusic.org. And you can follow our Facebook page and our updates on Twitter by searching for Harmonia Early Music. The writer for this edition of Harmonia was Wendy Gillespie. Thanks to our studio engineer Michael Pashkash and our production team, Aaron Kane, Wendy Gillespie, Luann Johnson, and John Bailey. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.